Well, the good news is that the requirements that were put out, again, through these incentive payments, it's called meaningful use is the term that's been used, really, you know, spell out how these things are going to happen. And the timetables are very, very tight, that the hospitals and providers are going to have to implement these electronic health records pretty quickly in order to qualify for the funds. So I think we'll start to see the benefits of that adoption coming pretty quickly. The other thing that we're also noticing is that even though, particularly in healthcare reform, that health IT is not necessarily directly spelled out in some of the legislation, a lot of the way that this legislation is going to be paid for is through significant cuts in Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. And so hospital providers are going to have to find ways of becoming more efficient, more cost-effective, and providing higher quality care, and health IT is certainly an underpinning to that.
When we talk about health IT, what exactly are we referring to? Let's just take a step back and give the overall picture. When you say health IT, what do you mean?
Well, the two fundamental things that we're talking about, first one are electronic health records. You know, most of us go to the doctor and the doctor takes out a paper chart. My doctor has paper charts. As we move to replacing those paper charts with electronic records, we have the ability to have information available whenever and wherever it's needed. Initially, you also talk about these rooms of charts. You're seeing physician offices and hospitals being able to convert the rooms that were used to house paper charts into more places to treat patients. So the first thing is really using electronic health records as opposed to paper charts. And then the second thing that's a critical aspect is to move this information around, is to create these health information exchanges. And that's something where that if a physician has electronic data available on me in his office, that when I go to the hospital, I go to the emergency room, that those doctors will be able to access that information about me as well. So it's not only having electronic information in one location, it's to be able to securely and privately move that information around.
Yeah, those are the key words, though, securely and privately. And with such a tight timeline, that's a really delicate balancing act. Can that be done?
Well, it definitely is delicate, and we will be hard-pressed to make sure it happens, but it is a critical part. And the good news is there was a study recently done showing that hospital CIOs and others involved in healthcare are very, very focused on this. There's additionally new legislation in some of the privacy laws that really step up the penalties for any security or privacy breach. You know, a lot of it is about communicating to patients how much more private they can have their information when it's done electronically. Right now, you know, a medical record is something that almost anyone could pick up if it's a paper document. And physicians often, if they have it in their car, you know, someone can break into their car and get their information. Versus when you have electronic systems, you now have the ability to audit who has access. You can even do biometrics and do, you know, eye scans to make sure the right person is looking at the record. And you have a much more extensive way of tracking how this data is used and accessed.
Or I've even heard people talk about maybe even giving the patients control over who gets their records. Right now, you sometimes as a patient can feel a little on the outside of that.
Yeah, and one of the great things about electronic records, and actually one of the requirements of meaningful use, is giving patients access to their own information. And this does a lot of things. Number one, it gets patients more engaged in their own care. Number two, it allows people to bring their own information. So, for example, people with diabetes may want to upload their own blood sugar information that they collect. And it gets people more engaged in their own health care, such that they can correct information they want to correct. It also gives people the ability to control how that information is shared, what aspects of their information they want to share or not share with different providers. And that's a critical element because about half of the people in this country have some information in their health record that they do not want to share.
How much of a footprint does the federal government have on this health IT issue? And what I mean is, I mean, we're talking about private, you know, physicians and providers and stuff, but it is a requirement from the federal government that this happen in a relatively short time. So how much control is the federal government going to have?
Well, the federal government has a tremendous amount of control. Number one is that obviously they Medicare and Medicaid are very large payers and represent a large proportion of the patient population across the country. And they set the tone, they set the standards. Certainly, getting these incentive payments is voluntary, though there are penalties if physicians don't comply. But it really is a great step forward by the government to enable this step. I mean, for a long time, those of us who've been advocating health IT for years have always said, look, the solution is for the government to come in and really make a strong push and a strong compelling reason for the private sector to adopt these electronic health records. Until now, there really hasn't been that kind of push. But I think we're getting to the point where we'll get to the tipping point where more and more providers will have this have electronic health records, and other doctors and patients, frankly, will see the advantages and will force those who might have held back to actually adopt.
The federal government offers a lot of offers a real good test case because VA, in many ways, has been way ahead of everyone else in the use of health IT.
Yeah, the VA and the DOD certainly have outstanding electronic health record systems. And as we saw in Hurricane Katrina, the ability for veterans to access information when they move to other areas, other things like that have shown how effective electronic health records can be, also improving the quality and safety of care. It also highlights one of the problems that we talked about earlier, is that unless you can move those records around to where patients are getting care, you're missing a lot of the advantages. So one of the struggles the VA has right now is that a lot of the care that veterans get is outside of VA facilities, and they need to be able to get the information that they have within their system to those providers, and when providers care for those patients, they need to be able to get the information back to the VA. It's still a pretty clumsy system, and that's what Health Information Exchange is all about. And there's some great programs that the VA and other parts of the federal government are establishing to enable that exchange of information.
And it still has taken us this long just to get to this point. Is that because of the technology needing to catch up, or the resources and the money needing to be there, or support from the top down? Clearly, there's a lot of support at the highest levels of the country now for this. So is that what everybody's been waiting on?
Well, is there a whole host of reasons? I mean, financial reasons have been one. There's another reason that a lot of physicians are worried about their productivity going down as they go through this process. There are technical barriers. There are interoperability barriers. But it's interesting in healthcare. We are very fast to adopt technologies, and you can walk into your doctor's office, and they've got lasers, and they've got their own lab equipment, but it's really around information that we've been so far behind. And in every other aspect of our lives, we're used to having electronic information. You wouldn't go to a bank that didn't have online banking. We can make restaurant reservations, on your BlackBerry. And yet, we can't make a doctor's appointment online, we can't interact with our physicians and our records in a way that we would with any other part of our lives.
And in many ways, that health IT, having that information, can save as many lives as having the fanciest technologies out there.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah. If to be able to have the right information at the right time can be life-saving, particularly in an emergency. And I think as we start seeing the adoption of electronic health records and the movement of information around on these health information exchanges, you're going to start to see these success stories where, that someone who shows up unconscious in an emergency room, doctors are able to very quickly find out precisely what's going on with that patient's medical history that's pertinent to their care, and they'll see those advantages.
How long will it be before then? I mean, we've talked a couple of times about the tight timeline. What sort of timeline are we looking at?
Well, there's a timeline for implementation. There's a timeline that you and I start seeing a real benefit from it. And that's very regionally dependent. There are some places which have very high penetration of electronic health records, places like Boston and Indiana and others, other places with very low penetration. We'll see a lot of disparities in how quickly people see results. This is going to be a decade-long process where first we've got to get the information, and then we've got to move it around, and then people have to be able to act on it to actually start improving the outcomes of patients and lowering the cost of care.
That makes me wonder if this doesn't set up a whole new class system. I mean, if you live in rural America and you don't have access to broadband, you may not have access to this sort of health IT thing. Or is that where the big broadband initiative comes in?
Well, yeah, fantastic question. And actually, the exciting news right now is that if you look at other agencies in the government, and the FCC in particular, the FCC has real health IT experts whose job it is to make sure that we don't create another digital divide. And they've done very careful analysis to see that what parts of the country don't have good broadband access. So if we create these great solutions and software as a service applications, which are all done in a secure cloud, well, if you don't have broadband, what's the point? So they've done very careful analysis, and they've set up a very large fund to help communities which do not have adequate access to IT to make those things work.